Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. I'm really honored to have the String Revolution with me. I learned about them from my very good friend, Janet, who was on my show earlier, and this week I was going through the album, their newest album, which is called Stringborn, and I'm going to flash it up on the camera. And it's amazing stuff what they're doing. I just want to welcome everybody, Janet right here, Daniel.
Hello, everybody.
And Art. Hello. And Marcus. Hello. So welcome, everybody. I was going to just play a clip, but I think it's better just to let them just play. So I'm going to let them play right now, and you'll get an idea what they're about.
This is a song from our upcoming new record, coming out in the fall. It's called Red Drops. Thank you.
Got to put my mic on. That's awesome. That's great. And I love the way the interplay between the classical guitar and the steel string guitars. It's very refreshing, and it works real. The blend is very, very, very nice. Now, yeah, go ahead and feel free to move your mics up so we can hear from you guys. I'm going to go down the line. I'll start with Art on the far side, and just tell us a little bit about your background. You might want to lean into the mic a little bit.
I started playing guitar when I was probably in late elementary school. Just been playing on and off for all these years, and met Janet and the guys a few years ago. I mostly do singer-songwriter stuff, but this project was kind of interesting just because it felt like a really good exercise in how to fit all these guitars together.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Usually you try to keep it to one or two when you're playing in a band, and it's just... It's a nice challenge to try to compose all these things and write together, and like you noticed, you know, how to make these things fit together. But yeah, I mean, I play a lot around LA. I also record, do a lot of engineering. But yeah, it's mostly my background is just playing mainly acoustic guitar. It seems to kind of be the thing I can control the most just mm-hmm. by my playing. You know, I really like the interaction of how I can get things to sound as opposed to, you know, using an electric. But yeah.
What were your influences, and did you study? Were you?
No, it's so funny because I don't really remember learning how to play much. Like I took a few lessons when I was younger, but it was mainly like really easy ska stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually go through in my head a lot and kind of try to figure out how I got to where I'm at because I don't remember practicing much or playing much. And I use a lot of alternate tunings, and I don't even remember developing that kind of style.
How many drugs exactly?
not much drug use either. But yeah, just, I don't know, it's kind of interesting because I don't feel like I learned how to, like I put in that time to learn, you know, like sitting here now. My influences early on were a lot of 50s and 60s music, and the neighborhood kids got me into ska and stuff. But after that, it's just kind of been trying to get the most out of an acoustic that I can. And I had a project with a singer a few years ago, and it was just the two of us. So that challenged me a lot to try to be as creative as possible with just the two of us. You know, you can't just keep doing the same chords. So I try to do a lot of things where I would, you know, be playing open tunings and doing lead lines while doing rhythmic stuff. And so that's kind of helped me in this band, too, because it's kind of a little different than, you know, than what everybody else does.
Now, and this last song that you played, what was the name of that again?
Red Drops.
Are you using a standard tuning, or are you using...
Yeah, it's a standard tuning.
Okay, so you're using it on that. Yeah. And then tell us a little bit about this guitar and what other guitars that you use, because this is a beauty.
Yeah, this is a new one that I got, I think, almost about a year ago. Went down to Taylor and picked it out of a couple that they had there. It's an 810 CE. It's a beautiful sounding guitar. It's actually not on the record. On the record, I had my original Taylor, which is like a 110, I think, which is mostly what I still write a lot of my stuff on. But this one, I'm really excited to record it with. We all played it there, and it just felt like the one. You know, we
you stepped up yeah. from 110 to an 810.
Yeah, it was a big jump.
What's the 110? What's the back and sides on? It's spruce, I presume.
I actually don't know. I've got it maybe 15 years ago, and it was just like what I could afford
I think
at the time.
It's spruce.
Yeah, it's
spruce.
What I could
but what
afford.
Is it like mahogany on the back?
I think so, or rosewood. Yeah.
The back of it looks a lot like the side of Daniel's guitar. The sides of the guitar. It's kind of got that similar feel and texture to it.
The 810 isn't a total.
If it's that type, that's like a mahogany type of finish.
Yeah. So
that looks like that type of grain. This thing's beautiful, though.
Yeah, and this thing plays so well. Just like it's just a pleasure to play. The other one's kind of been through a lot and been abused a bit, so.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you, Taylor Guitars.
Yeah, thank you, Taylor. And
truly
Janet,
road proven with this group. I know Janet. We at NAMM, I was crying when I saw that guitar next.
Oh,
now.
Oh yeah.
So
let's not talk.
Yes. No. Next on the list is Marcus. Marcus, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, my background. I started guitar also quite early. Mm-hmm. I think think it was like, 12. I started to study guitar as well. I did that in Austria and in Spain. Mm-hmm. So I was very much into classic and Spanish.
Where are you from? Music.
Austria. I'm from Austria. Then I did flamenco as well. I did when I was in Barcelona. At that time, I played a lot of different, like, different groups, tango, with tango groups, or like, everything all over the place. And when I came, and I compose as well, which was the reason why I came to the US, because I was working on film music projects, which I still do as well. But then I met Danny, and then I met the whole crew. And since then, you know, it's just a blast to play together and to get all those, the different ideas, since we have all different backgrounds.
Yeah.
So that's the interesting part. And so also different music styles we come from. And then once we come together, you know, somebody has an idea, and say, hey, that's great. I said, oh, no, that's shit. That's shit. that's like filters it out in the end. And sometimes, you know, I'm like, I'm not sure if that stuff works. You know? And then there were people love that stuff. Some of the songs, everybody has different favorites, right?
Yeah. Right.
And then I'm like, hey, really? You like that more than this? Like, it's just so interesting. You know? It's like, mm-hmm. It surprised me. And then I said, okay, you can't do anything really wrong as long as you love it. And as long as you know, put everything you think is good and you do your best work.
Now, your influences were all classical and flamenco?
No.
As a kid, or were you a rock and roller like everybody else?
No, actually, I was everything acoustic. I did listened to a lot of Irish music. Mm. Paco de Lucía was my biggest hero, so I was trying. But I transcribed Aranjuez, Concierto de Aranjuez, but the Paco de Lucía version of it, whatever I could. So that was my hero. Mm-hmm. And then I studied with a couple of people he played with, Manuel Canizares in Barcelona, which was a blast. I started with classic guitar and acoustic, then I did flamenco, then I did a little bit jazz. So I was kind of like, since everything is interesting, you know, I couldn't really decide what I want to do. So it was a mix of different. But my main thing, I think, is just like everything with nylon strings, and that's actually my go-to.
Now, what guitar are you using here now?
This one is a German one. It's called Dieter Hense from 1978. And he built it actually just for people who want to record something. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really project the sound that far. Which of course doesn't matter because we can like with a mic inside, so that's okay.
You've got the pickup.
Is that a LR Bags in there?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. LR Bags, yeah. Now is that what you used on the recordings, or do you use another other guitars?
No, this one was used for the recordings.
Okay, and then what do you use live?
Also live.
I just
want to have the, because it's just the one I'm most comfortable with. And the sound, you know, once I change the sound, there's no reason to change the sound on the stage. Then mm-hmm. I want to make it the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As a record.
As a record, right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, we're in a minute, I'm going to, when I play some of the clips, listen to, you can hear the influence. One of the things I noticed about what you guys do that I don't hear much from other groups, like, you know, is... in classical music, imitation, where you'll start a line, you go through it. You hear that a lot in there, which is really interesting. It's great sound, especially the way your albums are mixed, because you take advantage of the stereo perspective.
Matthew Hyde.
And it's very cool, but I noticed that you have the, and we'll play that in a second, but I want to get through everybody's background. So Daniel, tell me about you.
I started playing piano at second or third grade, and the main influence was a cassette tape we had in our family car, and it was the Beatles Best Of, the blue and the red,
the
double
red
bubble.
Red.
Yeah. And so there was the great Beatles tunes that brought me to music, but to change to guitar, it was when my father brought home two Rykuder soundtracks, Paris, Texas and Crossroads, plus the two Eric Clapton records, 461 Ocean Boulevard and Slow Hand. Mm-hmm. So that's when I thought, guitar is better than piano, so let's learn guitar. Mm-hmm. And I started playing the electric guitar because acoustic guitar didn't seem so sexy. So for girls' purposes or whatever, it looked like it's more rock and roll to play the electric guitar. And I started playing a lot of blues and rock and roll, then some classic rock, and then I grew with the electric guitar history. So from classic rock into hair metal, into more progressive metal, and it was all the faster, bigger, louder guys from Joe Satriani to Eddie Van Halen, Paul Gilbert, these guys in the late 80s, early 90s. And then I detected the passion for acoustic instruments, so I started playing mandolin, dobro, also a bit banjo, a bit steel guitar. And the love for that came on two trips to the United States when I was 18 years old. So I drove through the whole West with a friend, and we only got a few country stations in. And that was the time when I fell in love with American country music and steel guitar and chicken. I was forced. Chicken picking and open string licks, etc. And from then on, it was a lot of slide guitar, acoustic instruments, as I said, dobro, mandolin, banjo.
So where are you originally from?
I'm from Switzerland.
Switzerland,
it's
okay.
Not bluegrass country.
It's greengrass.
So, but somehow the joy of American roots music got me then.
No, that's interesting. That I'm waiting to see now the string revolution. Basically, it's all guitars, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
with all those other stringed instruments, it's tempting to throw a mandolin or something.
Yeah, I used my national style and dobro on the record for two mm-hmm. songs, so it's my favorite instrument. Actually,
we're not against other stringed instruments.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can see mandolin in your future, and definitely. No, that's interesting. While we're listening right now, how diverse all the influences of all you, just the three of you alone. It's the whole gamut. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Yeah. And then let's get to Janet.
I'll keep it brief.
And besides your influences, also I want you to mention, too, how you put this thing together.
Well, I started very young, first of all, at six, playing folk and classical. And then my brother was playing guitar at the same time. He wanted to play electric, and we heard about this great teacher, Randy Rhodes. Mm-hmm. And he was teaching out of his mom's school, which happened to be very close to my parents' house. So my brother started taking from him. I continued on acoustic, and then by the time I was nine, I was begging and begging to move on to electric. So we were both lucky to study under Randy Rhodes back in the 70s, before, of course, he got the gig with Ozzy. I was heavily influenced by what my brother was listening to, which was Zeppelin, Beatles, Bowie, Heart, a little bit of Aerosmith, Black Sabbath, all those classic rock bands, including some singer-songwriters, Joni Mitchell, James Taylor. It was really ran the gamut. And, my mom bought the original Sgt. Pepper's record, which I was obsessed with, and that still to this day is my favorite record. But then I'll listen to Zeppelin, which is totally different music, But the songwriting for the Beatles and the instrumental prowess for the guys in Zeppelin. And I, of course, was playing guitar at the same time. And I was just like, I want to be like that. I want to be like that, And I got good fast. I was liked it. That was the only thing I was good at. I tried sports. I tried tap dancing. I tried karate.
Tap dancing.
It was like terrible. I couldn't do it. And then pole dancing. Inappropriate. I was good at it, and I was getting good fast, and I liked it. and no one was telling me to practice. So I think it gave me an extreme amount of self-confidence growing up, you know, in a family with two older brothers, and I was the only girl. And Randy could care less if I was a girl. I mean, you know, and he was most encouraging. So I got into, you know, neighborhood bands very early. And then in high school, I got into this hair metal band called Precious Metal, all-girl band. And it was the early 80s, like Daniel was talking about. And we got lucky. We got signed. And that really started my professional career, you know. And I was with that band for a good six, almost 7 years. Went through two major label deals, Capitol, PolyGram. Met a lot of people, got my feet wet in the real music business. And then after that, I went on to play with Lindsey Buckingham and Air Supply and Meredith Brooks as a hired gun after Precious Metal finally called it quits. And during that time, I also was starting to do my own stuff, singing and writing. And I was, you know, putting out my own records, kind of following the path of Ani DiFranco, the one-woman band kind of thing.
Yeah.
Get in my car, drive to the shows, drive all over the country alone, you know, it's like coffee houses, opening for people. And I still do some of that. I have since taken my career over to Europe, which has been very good for me the last 10 years. But as far as, you know, putting the band together, really what happened was my time in Buckingham's band, it was his first solo band he put together, and he really wanted to have every single guitar sound on that particular record that he put out, which was called Out of the Cradle. So he hired five guitar players. And the arrangements that he created and the mix and everything, it was just like, I was so impressed how he put it together. And I think it really affected me. You know, cut to like 22 years later, I was still busy doing my own, I'm still busy doing my own solo thing. But it was time to start something different, and I just thought, you know what, I would really like to do something that isn't just me and that focuses on the guitar but isn't just another instrumental band per se. What could we do that's different with the guitars that could make it sound like a whole band but not with drums and bass? And I thought, oh, you know, I've seen people do percussive stuff on acoustic guitars or whatever, you know, I've seen baritones used as bass lines, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to put an ad in Craigslist. And that's seriously what I did, because I know some fantastic guitar players out here. It's not about that. It was more about, I want to meet new people, people I've never played with before, people I don't know anything of their background, anything. And I took a chance, and I really spent time putting the ad together, writing it out to attract certain people. And what was very interesting, though, was that not one girl answered my ad. That was very interesting. That's totally open to having another girl in the band, but not one girl answered. They were all guys.
Well, what did you say in the ad?
I said male or female.
No, but I mean,
oh, in the ad,
style
I
of music,
said,
you probably.
Yeah, I'm looking to get to put together an instrument, all guitar instrumental band that I think I said that mimics a full band sound. Do you remember, Art, what it was?
It was something like that.
Where we can create drums and bass and lead lines from only a guitar. And then I was like, responsible and professionals only apply. But I meant professional in attitude, not that you had to, you know, have played with tons of people. Just more like, you know,
yeah,
I'm serious
yeah.
about this, you know. And I think I said a few things like, I have major credits, you know, I want to take this band right. as far as we can go. And you know, there were a couple of not such great responses. But
really?
Yeah. yeah. yes.
So, well, I
you know what I didn't want? I didn't want a shredder. I got a lot of shredders. They were great players.
Well, Craigslist tends
to... Of course.
Like Music Connection.
And I knew I was going to get that, but I wasn't looking for that. And I did... I think I said something focusing on acoustic or something, but I didn't want that. And I wanted... I like the flash and show off our skills, but I want it to be about the song.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we don't have a singer, per se. There is one song that we mm-hmm. have singing on. But the singing comes from the guitar.
Yeah.
So... Yes, I wanted you to have skills and be flashy a little bit, but I really wanted somebody who knew what it took to put together a good song. So
yeah, I think the key thing is your composition.
Right. Yeah, and expertise. Someone who was open, flexible, not going to try to take over the whole project. Of course, that's always hard. Personalities and stuff. I mean, I spent 6 years in an all-girl band. Think about that. So I think he answered first, then Daniel, and we were having trouble finding a fourth member. And that's you right. said
you knew
Marcus, yeah. And then I called, or we had a beer, and I said, "Are you interested?" You said, "Let's play some guitar together." And I said, "Well, I have something more specific. Let's come for a rehearsal." Yeah, right.
How did you guys meet?
We met through we have a common friend in New York.
We have a common friend in New York, yeah. And When I came to the U.S., I actually was in New York. I was working for 3 months in a post-production studio, and because just trying to do something. And then I met our friend there, and then I moved to L.A. And he came. I think when did he arrive? 2015.
2014.
But I was there already a couple of months earlier. Yeah.
But then she hooked us up, went for a beer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really like the fact that Marcus played nylon, or that was his main instrument, because although I was open to all steel string guitars, I liked that, and I thought, oh, that's going to be a nice texture. And he plays dobro, and like I said, we're open to other string instruments, but it's his background, I think, is the most extreme different from ours, And he also, is...
But it doesn't clash.
He went to school.
It really works.
You went to guitar school.
I went to school, too.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, I did. I went to the School of Rock and Roll.
That's funny.
That is interesting.
No, that's... Yeah, and it's interesting. Well, let me play a clip. I edited this together, so this one was tricky to put together because there's just so much. And it was a longer... The songs are... What was difficult in this doing this show and picking the clips is because of your classical background, it develops over time. So the song might be 3 or 4 minutes, but it's not like verse, chorus, verse, chorus. Yep. It's like you got this first movement, second movement type of thing where it embellishes. And then, so I'm listening. Okay, that looks good. I'll keep that. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Oh, no. He's doing something here. And it's like, and then I'm looking, and it's like 3 minutes. And it's not a criticism.
No, yeah.
But so what I did is I really hard cut this. And one of the things I really like about this album is all the intros are just so cool, what you guys do. And then it develops into the song. So what I did is, this is called Flying Trumpets. And this is off of Stringborn, which I'm going to flash up here. And so I have the opening, and then I cut to the lead. And then I let it go out, and it plays the theme. So you get an idea of the structure. So let me play this for you. And I think you guys will like this. And it kind of show you why it's so hard to define what they do. So here's Flying Trumpets. We'll be right back. So you can hear there all the. That's a very cool.
That's a very.
Their eyes popped out when they heard that edit. It's just like, whoa, whoa.
Can they hear that on Facebook Live or they can't hear?
Yeah,
that?
Yeah. All of that's like, that's all running through.
Oh, great.
So they're hearing the clips.
It's a very good edit, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Wait, what?
Straight to your guitar solo.
I had to use Pro Tools on that puppy. Yeah. So, but anyway, no, it was an interesting sound. Now, who's doing the main lead?
I did the solo, and then these two guys, Marcus and Art, do the melody after the solo. Yeah,
and then you're kind of comping around him when he does the solo. There's like some little like comp chords.
Yeah.
That's because it sounded gut string.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're doing the baritone. I love that slide. It sounds like a real bass.
It's not. It's a six.
That blows me away. Boom, 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 boom.
Now that's my electric baritone. And that's made by a Czech guy, Macho, mm-hmm. is his name, and he custom made that for me.
Well, that's got a great sound. I mean, it sounds like a bass. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then all of the little percussive things that you're doing now. This one, you're not tapping the guitars and stuff as much as some of the other songs, but very rhythm oriented, which I noticed. And it's not as much syncopation, but like counterpoint, I noticed that's things that happen with you guys. And I'm going to play another clip real quick, and then we'll dig in more. But first, when you did the lead, what you flanged that? Was that flanged?
I think it's flanger on it, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So our mixing engineer, Matt Hyde from London, did a great job. He came up with certain sound ideas, and so it was
Matt Hyde... Mixed Rodrigo y Gabriela's 1111 record, and we're huge fans of them, and we specifically reached out to him to mix this record, and we're completely surprised that he said yes.
First
of all, I was surprised he even answered my email, but yeah, he listened to just some of our demos. He's like, I will absolutely work with you guys.
No, I think that it's a challenge, and to get the balance. And listen how clear everything is. I mean, I can hear
he's
all the
fantastic.
Parts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And there's a lot going on there. And as a producer or engineer, you can tell. I mean, I'm sure you appreciate that.
Sure. We had a couple other people do some try some mixes on it, and then Matt's just was like the right fit. He kind of got where we were going, and then he could push it a little bit too, give us a big sound, because we don't want it to feel too laid back and just kind of like, soft.
Dental office music?
Yeah, so Matt was able to kind of give it that
oomph.
Yeah, because he has, I think, a background with like metal bands and stuff too.
Now, did he just mix it or did he record you guys too?
No,
The recording,
he's in London.
Yeah.
So you guys did your own?
No. The recording we did in the studio here in L.A.,
Sonic Fuel and Keith, what's his last name, Keith Okrishna, I can never pronounce his name, if he listens to it, sorry for that, Keith, we love you, he will now cancel our next recording I've cancelled your next
Keith.
Yeah, Keith.
Okrishna.
Yeah,
he did the engineering.
Yeah. Was it close mic'd or did you guys use the room?
No, close mic. Plus a DI signal of every guitar.
Yeah, we had mics and DIs.
Two mics and
stereo
DI.
Mics.
And we recorded it simultaneously, like in three different booths.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played live minimal
but
overdubs. Maybe a few.
But when you were mic'd, you're mic'd in stereo? He used two mics on everybody?
Yeah, it was stereo, though.
Was it stereo?
No, it was just two different sources.
Oh,
it was a pencil mic and then just a normal condenser.
But he didn't keep those on separate tracks?
Yeah, those were separate tracks. Yeah.
So he could pull it out if he wanted to.
Yeah,
it was separate. So Matt had options.
Oh, he had a lot of options.
So you had actually three tracks for every guitar.
Exactly.
Which is good.
No, he said that gave him a lot of things to work with. And Matt really appreciated that, because he was able to kind of really do what he wanted to do.
Yeah, you could spend time dialing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff.
I mean, the tricky part is, of course, since it's all guitars, right? So he has to decide which guitar has which frequency and, like, what guitar is doing what at which specific
at
point,
what
right? Especially since we also change some parts. So I might just play the melody at one point, and then I'll change and, like, play some rhythm mm-hmm. parts. And if the rhythm part has another frequency, then he has to, like, he did a lot of work.
And sometimes somebody would be playing a percussive part and then switch to a guitar.
And you did that live. You didn't overlay.
No, I did that in one track, one take.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting because it would be interesting to put you in a good room, like one of the main rooms at Capitol, one of the bigger rooms, and just mic you live. But it has its advantages and disadvantages. I can see the close miking gives you the separation. So you can hear it in the album. It's all around you, and that's important, especially for the intricate parts that you guys are doing. But it'd be interesting. See, it'd be tougher on you guys because you'd have to balance it yourselves.
Well,
in
we
terms,
do that live. You know, we try to get that
right.
That
but
live,
you're going through the PA, right? A lot of it's driven by the pick. So somebody's mixing you.
Yes.
It's tricky. I mean,
it's tricky for
you to go from tapping and then go to playing,
exactly.
You know, some of the stuff that you're doing. That's but it would be interesting to see to pull just because these are beautiful guitars, and you know, let them breathe a little bit. It would be fun. But let me play another clip real quick to show you some of the. This is a. Billie Jean, and it's just the opening's so cool, and I want to talk a little bit how you put this together to get an idea of how you guys arrange. So let me play this real quick, and you guys, everybody, take a listen. I just love that.
I'm listening, but I'm also answering people on Facebook Live.
Yeah,
just didn't want you to think I was rude.
No.
We're getting some nice messages.
And that's
messages.
True. Yeah, there's people that...
They're chatting.
On the Facebook Live. It's really...
Somebody from Bakersfield, right? Guthrie, or...
Cool. Yeah.
Where's that coming from?
I don't know.
I think it's my
problem. Oh, there's a delay. That's called delay.
I see.
Now, okay. First of all, that who was doing the break? That
the two of us. She's doing the harmonics.
And I love that. That is so cool.
Percussion.
That's right. Yeah, that's like...
That is... That's good.
It's a little crazy.
And then the second one you have, though, with the phased. It's phased.
Yeah, yeah, that's also her with the effect on it, yeah.
Yeah, that's a very cool riff. No, it's interesting. Again, that shows what I hear in there too, is which is unique, is just the whole groove of it. It's really there. It's as funky as a standard band, but and I, the first thing I was thinking is, now how did he do that bass drum? Because that bass drum is...
It was this guitar, but Matt supported it with a bit more low end in the mix.
Okay, because it's like, that's got to be a cajon.
No, it's this guitar and Matt at...
Heavy.
It's just low like end.
Very, very, boost. Very clever.
EQing.
Just, and this arrangement is just beautiful. And it opens up with this like really cool buildup of the...
Thank you.
Of the theme, and then it sets up that little rhythm thing, and it's kind
of
a
Marcus
teaser.
Brought it in, and we're like, you know what, this is cool. Of course, we don't want to be a covers band, but it's always cool to do a cover in a unique way. And he brought it in, and we just put our thing on it, you know, and made some changes to it, and kind of you in that song especially, you can really hear a lot of our influences individually, because we also added this whole other solo section at the end where we're like, yeah, there's a little bit of Randy Rhoads there, you know?
Well, I'm gonna play a clip in a minute that really shows the true roots. I'm just gonna say it that note. It's a great clip. It's a great song. But no, really, the thing that was interesting, you guys collectively arrange, or does somebody come in with an arrangement?
Well, both.
It
both
depends
things.
On what
it depends
yeah.
on
yeah.
some. Sometimes we have already some arrangements. We bring it along and said, okay, let's try that. But at the same time, since we get together and have fun to play, we just start to play.
Yeah, start
somebody has an idea. Somebody says, yeah, let's go with
it's
this.
It's a jam.
That's really a cool thing when that happens. That's like the magic dust. Somebody's spraying magic dust on us and. Somebody comes up with something, and you know, we can be blunt. I can sound like that, you know. And they, you know, a different band member might say, "Get out of here, Janet," you know, "don't talk to me that way." But, or I might say, "That's really cool," or they might say, "Don't play that, Janet." You know,
it's a good mixture. It's a good mixture, and that's the thing. You need that to. That interaction, you know, both, yeah, I like this, both, now let's try this.
I think what in this band, we all know the power of the song. So in the end, it's what is best for the song, not what is going to show off my playing.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
You know?
No, that's definitely the song is the...
And that's not to say that I don't sometimes say, well, we need to throw in a little flashy stuff here and there just to make it fun. But that's not really... end goal here. The end goal is how can we arrange
especially
this?
We're not just two guitars, right? If you have two guitars, it's kind of like, I don't say, you know, if two guitars play well, it's great, but it's more difficult to arrange it in a way, so it's still interesting for everybody to play, you know, because that's the main goal, keep it interesting, and you know, to have all the frequencies covered, and you know, that's the challenge to
and not step on each other. That's a lot going on.
Less is more, you know. Often
there's a lot in there, but it's still clear.
Well, for instance, on Red Drops that we opened the show with, I mean, my part is, you know, any one of my young kid students could play it. It's just I mean,
and then that was doubled, I think, by. Did you do that too?
No, I'm doing that.
Simple high voicings.
He's doing kind of the melody. Wait, who's doing the melody?
Marcus.
Right,
Marcus.
He's doing like a rhythm.
Somebody else was doubling.
Did the basses within picking pattern. No,
I thought it was like an octave type of
thing. Yeah, well, it depends. There were some parts where we do.
That's only in the bridge, but throughout the whole song, I'm just doing a real simple sort
of
bass.
It worked, No, it works good. Now, this one, I assume the big influence on this was Daniel. So I'm just going to play this. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You'll know what it is. But take a listen to this, because this is the true influence of String Revolution right here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four.
So I assume Daniel brought that song. Yeah.
That's an old tune I composed with my guitar teacher back then at the music academy. He was a German born, became Swiss, and he was a fantastic country, or still is, a fantastic country guitar player. And he taught me some tricks of playing country guitar.
Well, those licks were awesome.
Banjo rolls, etc. And I fell in love with that type of playing, and we did that tune together. And then I brought it in, and we arranged some parts. We were adding additional parts on it.
So and
no, you, it was awesome in arts. Both of them. I mean, it's just perfect. And what you were doing, giving me that dirt and the grit on the guitar. She digs into the guitar. Yeah. I mean,
it does. You're right in the sense that. When we take our solos, it does showcase us, except for Marcus, who's playing the baritone. And now,
no showcase.
I'm just like, around.
But no, and also too, the reason I wanted to play it is because it just shows like that's like in left field from some of the other stuff you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it shows the versatility and the skill, because that's Chicken Scratch is it. It's, there's
chicken
good
picking.
Guys, chicken picking. Yeah. Well, I call it scratching. But,
scratching.
But it was, you just basically, there are good players and there are not so good players, and you guys are just nailing it. And it's just, and it works well in this group.
Yeah. It was a challenge doing that one.
Well, I told you we'd run out of time. It's already, it's almost time. But before we, because I want to let you go, they're going to play another song from the upcoming album in a minute. We're going to they're going to take us out with that. But real quick, www.thestringrevolution.com is their website. There's all sorts of cool stuff up there to check out. But give us where you guys are playing.
We're playing a really cool show April 27th. That's next Friday. Not this Friday, but a week from Friday, April 27th, at the NAM Headquarters Museum of Making Music, which is in Carlsbad. I realize it's far out there for LA people, but... if you go early in the day, take off work, walk around Carlsbad Village. We go on around 7 or 8, something like that. And then we have another date coming up here in town at Boulevard Music in Culver City.
Boulevard Music
in Culver City, September 15th.
15.
Yeah. And that might be more convenient for folks, but everything's listed on our website.
And any idea when the new album's going to come out?
We hope September.
Well, we're just going to have you guys back in September. They're going to be back in September when we get the album. I want to thank you guys, all of you, for coming on the show. It's really an honor to have you guys on here.
And thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
You guys are monsters, and I love this stuff. It's just great. So tell us a little bit. Set us up for this while she's tuning.
Yeah, sorry. The baritone tends to go out. So I am using baritone, my lovely Taylor on limited edition 326 baritone.
That's a beauty. It looks like it's rosewood.
Thank
and
you, Tim and Robin, Taylor Guitars.
Yes.
And we use
but
this
tell
song.
Us a little bit about set up the song.
So this
it's called After Sunday.
After Sunday, right?
They Art brought this in.
Right. So maybe the fun thing to talk about is like our how we come up to those creative titles. It's because we just run out of time and said, hey, we need the title After Sunday. So like, we stick to After Sunday. It's, you know,
like we need to title it after this coming Sunday, I think, because we had a gig or something.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
We just said, all right, screw it. We're just going to call it After Sunday.
After Sunday.
Kind of fits,
all
though.
Right.
Is that your tuner beeping?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm worried. I'm looking right. Where the hell? Checking my phone and...
Tuning for Dummies.
Anyway, let me real quick. String Revolution, Stringborn is their latest album. I recommend it highly. You heard some of the clips on there. It's just some great stuff, and I'm looking forward for the new one. And check them out if they're playing live. If you're nearby, Carlsbad or in LA, come by and check them out because it's a real treat. Okay, guys, have a great night, everybody.